Caitlin Coyle is a presenter. She's a public health project manager at the National Nursing Centers Consortium. She developed and manages a successful dual HCV and HIV testing model that integrated routine testing into 5 community health centers in Philadelphia. Caitlin has a bachelor's degree from the University of Virginia, an MPH from Thomas Jefferson University, and a master's of education also from the University of Virginia. And she's a former elite rower, which is a nice tidbit. Thank you.
But I'd use with my height. So my name is Caitlin Coyle, and I'm going to share with you the model that we have used to integrate dual HIV and hepatitis C testing in 5 community health centers in Philadelphia. Here are my disclosures for the talk. And just to give you some really brief background, some of this has already been said, but about 1.1 million Americans are infected with the HIV virus, of which 18% are unaware of their infection, and about half of the new sexually acquired infections are from that 18%. Poverty has been shown to be the top predictor of HIV amongst urban heterosexuals. For hepatitis C, between 2.7 and 3.9 million, or 1 to 1.5% of the general population, are chronically infected with Hep C, meaning they have active infection, and up to 75% of those patients are unaware of their infection. The disease disproportionately affects certain subpopulations, like baby boomers born between 1945 and 1965, injection or intranasal drug users, people with less than a high school education, and those living in households earning less than $25,000 annually. And you can see from this chart, as of about 2006, hepatitis C-related deaths now exceed HIV-related deaths, and there's the same trend you can see for disease spending. So knowing all of this information, what you'll see in the U.S. is that routine dual testing is not commonly integrated. Testing is primarily targeted in certain high-risk settings, like methadone clinics, needle exchanges, STD clinics. It's not in primary care, and it's definitely not in community health centers. So in 2013, National Nursing Centers Consortium partnered with our parent company, Public Health Management Corporation, to add routine HIV testing to a successful Hep C testing model integrated into the PHMC-managed FQHCs. And then what we tried to do is look at how this impacted patient care, how did this increase disease detection, and how did it improve upon linkage to care rates. Here's some key components of the model. So when a patient is brought back by the medical assistant, they're informed that they will be tested for Hep C or HIV unless they decline. For patients that don't decline, there are standing orders that allow the medical assistant to initiate the lab requisition. Both of these diseases require at least 2 confirmatory tests. HIV is just looking for repeatedly reactive tests, but hepatitis C, the initial antibody screener, identifies exposure to the virus but does not differentiate between current or chronic infection or past, also known as acute infection. So what reflexive-based testing is able to do, it's a blood draw, and for anybody that has an abnormal initial test, the lab will automatically perform the confirmatory test on the same blood specimen. We do use the 4th-generation HIV test. Recently, the CDC updated their testing recommendations to use the 4th-gen test because it is able to detect acute HIV starting about 2 weeks after infection, before the body's had an opportunity to build up antibodies. Also, for patients that are positive, we have a linkage to care coordinator that helps move them from primary to specialist care and help them maintain care and stay retained. He does this through a mix of care outreach, case management, and patient navigation, and is able to help with transportation barriers or if people need weather-related clothing, and it's been extremely successful. We've made significant EMR modifications to support our testing initiative. We use automatic reminders to prompt testing and linkage services. So every Friday afternoon, the EMR runs a query for patients with appointments the next week that are over the age of 13, that are not on HIV medication, and do not have an HIV test in their chart within the past 12 months. And for linkage services, there's an automatic reminder attached to the patient chart for anybody that has a detectable RNA lab value in their chart. There are 2 types of weekly reports that I get sent through the EMR. The first is showing just a breakdown by health center of the testing numbers for the previous week that help me track our project and make sure that we're on track to meet our goals. And then the other is a list of the patients with positive HIV tests and then positive Hep C antibody tests that helps me track them through the continuums of care. We also use data extraction for our monthly reporting to funders. We've made templates to collect discrete data that we use in that data extraction and also helped organize results summaries so it's easy for providers to see if patients have been tested and had their confirmatory tests. We've also modified the EMR to simplify pain for the tests ordered on uninsured patients, which is including competitive pricing with the commercial labs and creating a separate account to make an invoice come directly to me for Hep C and HIV tests. We cast a really broad net for HIV. We test anybody over the age of 13 that is not already aware of their diagnosis. And then we do subsequent risk-based testing based on reported risk factors or if the patient opts in. For Hep C, initially we tweaked the testing eligibility to meet the specific needs of the health centers. So at the health centers that treat primarily patients that are at low risk for Hep C, we did targeted testing. So people born between 1945 and 1965, the baby boomer birth year cohort, people with the traditional CDC risk factors like injection drug use and tattoos and piercings from unlicensed location, as well as people who had ever been homeless. And then at health centers that saw a lot of at-risk patients, we just did universal testing on all of the adult patients. So the next three slides I'm going to show you really, they look at how our testing and detection and linkage to care numbers changed from the 9 months prior to this dual bundled testing model and then the 9 months after it was integrated. And so it might be hard for you to see, sorry. But after we integrated the dual testing, Hep C testing rates increased about 24% and HIV increased about 125%, which was great. We also had increased detection. So over those two time frames, about 56% more patients were, 44% more chronic cases were identified and 225 more HIV cases. Our linkage to care rates improved as well, where you can see that the number of patients who were seen by specialists for Hep C increased by 44%, and for HIV increased 800%. There were two primary mid-course adjustments that we've made within the last year. The first was that PHMC's fifth health center joined in our testing network. And then in June 2014, the health centers that were originally doing the targeted risk testing started doing universal testing as well. So now all five sites test anybody that's 18 years or older once, and then we do subsequent risk-based testing on changes in housing, incarceration, drug use, and tattoos. So these are our results for the first year of testing. We've HIV tested just over 5,200 patients that did not know their HIV status, of which 14 new cases were identified, and two of them were acute. We've tested almost 3,000 Hep C patients for Hep C that did not know their status. We've found 212 new antibody positives, of which 96% have had the confirmatory RNA test, and 129 new chronic cases have been identified. Here are linkage to care cascades for both diseases. So you can see for the HIV, about 86% of the patients who've been diagnosed have attended their first medical appointment. 71% of those patients have maintained care, so they've been to at least two appointments. 57% of the new HIV patients have started antiretroviral therapy, and about 43 have documented suppressed viral load. This is likely higher as more patients had been tested since data collection ended. For Hep C, with our cascade of care, about a third of the patients who have been identified as chronically infected have been seen by a specialist. This is likely underreported. We're having a problem with specialists notifying the primary care providers if they went to appointments and the consult from the appointment. So we're working on improving that sort of surveillance. Whoops. There are two main limitations to this presentation. The first is that the people tested were definitely engaged in care since it was a primary care setting. And so it may not represent the actual disease burden for Hep C and HIV. on a broader scale. And also, this was integrated into 5 health centers, so it may have been simpler than in a complex hospital setting. But there are some conclusions we can take away. The first is that this model has successfully integrated dual testing, which has increased testing, increased disease detection, and improved our linkage to care rates. The reflexive testing ensures that both HIV and Hep C patients have the confirmatory tests. This means that when patients come back to get their results, they know they don't have to wait another week to come back and find out if they actually need to see a specialist. This creates more meaningful visits because patients can get their results and a referral to the specialist at one time. Also, negotiating with the commercial labs for the test costs performed on uninsured patients prevents test costs from being a barrier to testing. We've shown that the EMR can be modified to support testing and linkage to care rates. I have a poster on it this afternoon. If anybody wants to know more about it, I'm happy to talk about it. Our HIV prevalence exceeded that of the CDC threshold, and they recommend that if anybody is in anyone that is in a community that has zero prevalence of 0.1% or higher, do routine testing. Ours is 0.3%. And our chronic Hep C prevalence was much higher than what you see in literature, 4.5 compared to 1 to 1.5%. Here are the references, and I'm more than happy to answer anybody's questions. Hepatitis C testing is 18 and up. Okay. HIV is 13, which is why you see the difference in the testing number. More people were eligible for HIV tests than Hep C tests. Sorry, maybe I didn't. It was going really fast. Yeah. So two of the health centers are able to treat HIV already on site. So we have 2 test and treat sites. One of those treats Hep C on site. So we have 1 test and treat hepatitis C testing. One of the health centers that does neither serves an entirely homeless patient population. And because of the number of positive Hep C patients that have come from there, we're working to build their capacity to treat Hep C on site too, which I think is really important because they spend years Patients spend years becoming comfortable with their providers, and so as these new treatments become more effective and shorter durations, it's really hard to tell a patient that is very connected to you, go see this new stranger for 8 weeks. So I think this will really help. I have separate grant funding that covers the test, like the cost of the tests, but to make sure that I could take that as far, I didn't want to run out of money. So basically I pinned LabCorp and Quest against each other and said, give me your best rate. And so it's been really good. Yeah. Will be treated? Yeah. So I actually got an email about this from one of the providers that treats yesterday. It is a struggle. Pennsylvania CMS puts a lot of roadblocks and makes it a very difficult process. Like, you have to get declined twice. You have to do a formal appeal. There's a lot. And so that's definitely across the board, even at the academic medical centers, been preventing people from getting on treatment. And now they just added another one with a certain lab that people have to get. So the only Hep C treatment data I have is from the health center that is treating within our network. There's been like a complete lack of communication with the specialists about what's happening with the patients, so we don't know their testing outcomes. There is a very robust Hep C community in Philadelphia, and we're working really hard to sort of change policies to sort of help simplify these like barriers to treatment, because it exists. Well, the interesting thing about that is that What? Oh, lowering the price of the Hep C medications. If you look at the actual cost of treatment using an all-oral regimen, it is less than what it is to use the traditional ribavirin and interferon-based treatment, and both of them are less than what a while ago, the cost of treatment that the payers didn't have a problem paying. So it's new. Any what? Oh, no, it's been really successful. There was a huge increase in the number of patients that were tested once we added HIV testing. I think that part of it is because we're essentially drawing labs on anyone that's 13 years or older, so using that to piggyback Hep C has been really simple. But we had an amazing training with a physician from St. Chris, Dr. Laguerre, that just blew people's minds. And I did it for all the health center staff, particularly the medical assistants, because I wanted to make sure that they had an answer when the patient declined. And surprisingly, I thought there'd be a lot of pushback from patients about HIV testing since it's so stigmatized, and there really hasn't been. I track our offer and acceptance rate, and we have an offer rate ranging between 85%, and acceptance rate about 80%. And I thought we'd also have problems with Hep C since it's also very stigmatized for injection drug use. And I think the fact that there isn't a lot of information about it has really been to our benefit because nobody says no. So we did, it's really the medical assistants. After we did this training with Dr. Laguerre, we had our AETC come in and do a specific training for the medical assistants where we practiced opt-out testing, how to respond if somebody says no, different ways to say things, what's the difference between opt-out and opt-in, because we found out early on that they were just doing universal opt-in testing where they just asked everyone, do you want this? And I was like, it's not quite the same, but thank you for your effort.